All right, so we're continuing our walk through the book of Mark tonight, and tonight you get both of us sharing the scripture and the story this evening. Tonight we're going to see a story of the disciples and a time they were afraid and afraid of two very different things. Corey, remember a time that you were afraid?
I do. When my brother and I were kids, we would go ice fishing with my dad, and there was a lake that we went on that the ice was completely clear. It was a weird time. North Dakota, usually there's snow covering the ice. You don't actually see how thick it is. You have to wait till you drill. But this lake was completely clear. And when you're in a vehicle, you roll down the windows so that if the vehicle goes into the ice, you can escape. And of course, we were in a pickup truck, and I was in the middle. And so my little mind began to wonder about, well, if the windows are down and they can get out, I'm stuck in the middle, I can't get out. And so I began to get really afraid. And I asked if we could stop and I could get into the back of the truck. That helped a little bit because I would sit on the edge ready to jump off the truck. But as we drove, the ice started cracking. And of course, if you do any ice fishing, you know that that means that it's cold enough that the ice, you're making ice. But I was so scared, I thought for sure that we were going to go through because I could see the bottom, and we were driving, it was cracking. How about you? Was there a time that you can think of when you were afraid?
No.
No. I'm the only one, just me.
Yes, absolutely, there were times I was afraid. Now, I was thinking about this earlier in the day, and a couple jobs back, I ended up becoming a new church start pastor, feeling God prompted me to start a new church with this group of people, and I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I had no idea how to gather people or build a church so it could launch and be sustainable. I had no idea what I was doing. So there were times doing that work when you kind of projected confidence and at the same time said, I have no clue what's happening. I'm terrified. Hopefully I can find the people that know what they're doing so I can lead this thing correctly. But yeah, there's absolutely lots of moments I was terrified as we were launching this new church. So we all have times in all of our lives that we are terrified of all kinds of things. We don't know how we're going to pay our bills for the month. We're terrified for friends and family that have all kinds of illnesses. And we're afraid of the unknown, of what's coming next in the future. What do we do with our fears? How does Jesus help us deal with our fears that we encounter every single day? So the scripture tonight, if you want to follow along, it is the book of Mark, I believe chapter 4 that we're in. Because you get two of us tonight, you're going to get a little Reader's Theater version of this story. Let's go ahead and throw up on the screen back here for us. And here we go. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples,
"Let's cross to the other side of the lake."
So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boats, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting,
"Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?"
When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves,
"Silence! Be still!"
Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them,
"Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?"
The disciples were absolutely terrified.
"Who is this man?"
they asked each other.
"Even the wind and the waves obey him."
There are so many interesting things in this story. One being, did you notice that at the beginning of the story, the disciples are terrified, and the end of the story, they're what? Still terrified. Like they haven't really dealt with their fear, or at least it has changed to something else. Let's jump back to the top of the scripture, and we're going to walk through this story together. Tell us a little about the Sea of Galilee.
The Sea of Galilee is in a bowl with tall hills on either side. It is a long, narrow lake. It's also called Lake Gennesaret is another name for it. And storms still come up to this day. Becky and I, we entered a good-sized boat with a motor in it. And we started to head to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, but then these dark clouds started to come over one of the cliffs, And the captain turned the boat around because he was afraid that the storm was going to kick up waves and we would not be able to cross. We ended up getting off the ship, getting on a bus to go to the other side, and it started to downpour.
So 2,000 years later, the Sea of Galilee is doing the same stuff.
Exactly.
That it was doing in biblical times.
Exactly.
They still fire up. It sounds like a prairie storm we experience here that just like pops up out of nowhere, like the hailstorm a couple years ago that came out of nowhere and damaged my car.
And my car, yes.
Yes, exactly. Other thing you should know about this time, the ancients viewed the sea and the water differently than we do. We have a comfort level. We understand things in the water more than they did, meaning there was a genuine fear of what was happening in the water, the creatures that were there. They were terrified of what might happen to them crossing the water. So not only is there the wind to deal with, the storm, also just this kind of ancient knowledge of the water. Now, do notice in this story, Jesus says, let's cross the other side of the lake. And if you're taking Jesus at his word, he is saying, we're going to get to the other side of the lake. Jesus just said, we're getting to the other side of the lake. So here we go. Let's look at the next verse. Okay, that's all right. We got to back
there
up.
There it is.
Great. So they started out, although leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. I picture like a flotilla following after them. Like Jesus and the disciples are going out, and there's all these other kind of boats there. I'll go ahead.
Yeah, just like everywhere Jesus went, there were people that followed him.
Yep.
He could not, he found it difficult to get away from people. And it was the same whether it was on foot,
yes,
on sandal, or in a boat. Jesus said, let's go across. A couple other people said, hey, did you hear that? They're going across. Let's get our boats and go. So they start to go, and all these other boats come too. And don't forget that as we see this storm happen, it's happening for the boats that are following also. The storm hits them.
Yeah, exactly. Let's keep going to the next passage.
I hear the Jeopardy theme in my head. Anyway, so
Jim's got you with that too. There we go. We got the high winds and the waves breaking in the boat. It begins to fill with water. And what is Jesus doing while the boat is filling with water? He's taking a nap. Naps are good and great things, but not exactly where the disciples would like him to be.
What I love is that the scripture, Mark specifically says, on the next screen, that his head was on a cushion.
Yes.
So he's like really, he's zonked out. He's in there for a good nap. And he's got his head on a cushion. He is sleeping hard.
He is. And then the disciples finally decide, we need some help with this. We need Jesus. We need your help to bail us out. And says, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?
They're scared. They are scared. They're doing everything they can to get the ship across, whether it's paddle or dump water out. And Jesus is calm. He's taking a nap. He's not going anywhere because he knows nothing is going to happen. Nothing could happen to him.
And because he said at the beginning of the story, let's go to the other side of the lake. So they're going to get the other side of the lake.
Yeah.
Let's look what happens next. Silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Yeah, I love the words, a great calm. I was trying to think of different times in my life that there was a great calm, because we have so much anxiety, so many worries and burdens that come through our lives and our days. Jesus can provide a great calm, not just to the winds and the waves in the stories, but also to all of the winds and waves that are inside of us also.
What I like about I like everything about this story, but the interesting thing is that when Jesus stands up and he says, silence, be still, the storm is raging, the waves are hitting the bow of the boat, there's water coming in. It is distraction for the disciples. And so he's making the disciples calm, but he's actually silencing everything. He's silencing the chaos so he could be heard. With all the wind and the waves and everything and the disciples screaming, Jesus can't be heard. First thing he does is he calms everything, and then he can be heard. And I find that in my own life, when everything is raging, anxiety is raising, everything is coming or is just coming at me, if I stop for a moment and take a deep breath, do a breath prayer, right, Jen? Do a breath prayer. And then all of a sudden I can hear Jesus' voice saying, still silence. And now everything is calm. Everything, the storm is now passing. It's still raging somewhere, but it's calm in that moment. And I can hear the Holy Spirit speaking.
Yes. I mean, it's not a surprise that we read in Scripture, in the Gospels in particular, Jesus often withdraws to a lonely place to pray, and that's exactly what he's doing too. Even Jesus being God and fully human, he goes away to find these times of great peace and calm too. Let's look at this last verse, how Jesus speaks to the disciples. He asks them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Corey, how do you read this? How do you think Jesus actually asked this question?
I feel like it's when I see, when I know something that is obvious to me. So I'm trying to think of it not from, because I'm not a parent, so I have a tough time speaking from that position. But I feel like Jesus is a parent who knows better, who knows the answer, and so the disciples are being childish in their faith, and so Jesus is just like, I just can't understand. Why are you still afraid? Why do you still have no faith? You know, it's not that Jesus knows what's on their hearts. He's just like, you don't get it yet. Why not? You should. And so he wants them to be further along. That's how kind of I read it.
Now, I think that's good. And as a parent, I think that's an accurate read. He's not exactly angry, but he's like, my goodness, how many times do I have to keep going over the same stuff? Over and over again, you should be able to get this, and you're still not.
Because they were just total panic mode.
Yes.
You know, and Jesus is like, why are you panicking? I'm here.
Well, and then him doing this, they went from panic to panic.
Yeah.
Because let's look at now the last verse. We find out, and it says, the disciples were absolutely terrified. So I guess we went from terrified at the start to absolutely terrified at the end.
So when they were, the storm, they were scared, but that word absolutely wasn't there. That, how much is that ratcheted up, the terror? Absolutely. The word absolutely? Like, a lot. Yeah, 10, 20, 100, 1,000.
Yep.
It really ratchets it up because they were scared of the storm. But now they look at the storm and the water is calm, and now they look at Jesus and go,
Yes.
Who are you?
Or probably back up, actually.
Like, get to the other side of the boat, like,
exactly.
Okay, who are you?
Give me some room.
Give me some. I thought I knew who you were, but oh boy.
Exactly. Whatever the disciples thought he was, if they thought he was just a great teacher, that box just got destroyed. Whatever box they put Jesus in is gone, because now here's somebody who can control the weather just by speaking. And by the way, in your very first book of your Bible, anybody know who else speaks and the winds and the waves obey? The very first book of your Bible, God says, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke, and stuff happened. It is no accident that here Jesus is just speaking, and stuff happens. It is early evidence, early part of the story, that Jesus is not just a rabbi or teacher, but Jesus is, in the fact, God in the flesh.
And I would love to tell you guys that they get it now. That they understand it. But this is the book of Mark. They don't get it until much, much, much later. So they are absolutely terrified because of who Jesus is, because now they see him do this. So yep. Now they are literally scared of him, right? So this idea, we have lived with this idea that Jesus is a lion who acts as a lamb. He is, how did you put it today? That he's the only God.
Who suffers.
Yeah, who suffers. Who suffers, yep, on our behalf, right? So now they're scared that maybe Jesus is a Zeus, that they're truly terrified of him because he has this power over nature. And now they're scared, now they're really scared that of him. And so they're it's like the pendulum swung too far. And so they need more time and more experience with Jesus to figure out who he is.
Absolutely. And we're going to keep walking through the book of Mark as they do that. So the challenge for all of us tonight, especially in the stories we see ourselves as the disciples, are we trying to bail ourselves out of our own storms while Jesus is in the boat with us? Or are we actually asking Jesus for help? Are we looking to the one who can not only calm the storms of nature, the world, but can also calm the storms and anxiety inside of us. Friends, Jesus is in the boat with each and every one of us. Let's actually look to him to help us get through all the storms in our lives.
Amen.
Why don't you close in prayer, Corey?
Absolutely. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our peace. In the midst of anxiety, you calm the storm of our hearts, our lives, and our minds. When we are too scared to enter into whatever is before us, may we call upon you in your great power of peace and love to enter in. We ask this in your name. Amen.